A look inside Everbank Field in Jacksonville. The Jaguars are getting ready for the final 2 weeks of the 2015 regular season. They'll be in the Superdome this Sunday and then down in Houston in week 17. And welcome to Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. Plenty to get to today as we draw towards the end of the regular season coming up. Jags this week. Of course, it's Saints week, the Jags and the New Orleans Saints coming up Sunday in a game that was flexed to a 4 o'clock kickoff. Blake Bortles press conference, we'll carry that live as we always do. And wide receiver punt returner Rashad Green will join us on set as well. John, it is that time of year. There's still a little hope, but you're going to finish away from Everbank Field the final 2 weeks of the season. The stretch run is almost over.
Well, and it's funny how fast these seasons go. All of a sudden, we're 10 days away from being at the end of it. The regular season, and it always seems like it goes by quick. But I think the Jaguars in these last two games, you know, I get that the playoffs are still out there and Tennessee can win a couple of games and maybe you're in it. But even beyond that, I think they're important. And I'm not talking about necessarily setting a tone or momentum for next season. It just feels like this team at 5-9, if you get two more, you're 7-9. And then to these young players in this locker room, 7-9, I think, would confirm a lot of what they're feeling. I think they're feeling it anyway, that especially on offense, that we're building a foundation.
Yes.
We're doing these things. We're moving in the right direction, and we have the right parts. But you've got to think there would be times during the off season where when they're sitting there thinking about 7-9, that would feel a lot better. And I don't know what it gives you, but – it would be nice for these young guys and this team to have that to go into the offseason with.
John, let's get it out of the way. The Jags are still alive for a playoff berth.
Darn right they are, JP.
Yes, they are. Here are the standings. Houston, of course, leads the way at 7-7, Indy 6-8. Remaining schedules, Indy has the Dolphins and the Titans. Houston, the Titans and the Jags. And, of course, the Jags have the Saints and the Texans. Path to the playoffs. Basically, the Jaguars have to win out. They would be 7-9 if that happens. And Tennessee has to win out, so you're counting on Zach Mettenberger and Mike Mularkey.
Well, let's take this and forget about the first 14 and just take what we're looking at over the next 10 days. And there's two things at play, obviously, here. You have to count on Tennessee and old friend Mike Mularkey to win two games. Now, in a normal AFC South, would you expect that to happen? No.
No.
But you're talking about the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts, who are not with their frontline guys and who might be with their third guys. Charlie Whitehurst might be playing quarterback for the Colts, and I've lost track of Houston.
It would be like Brandon Whedon, right?
Right.
Now. Yeah,
and
sure.
That's their fourth. So I believe that Houston will win this weekend. Because history in the NFL shows you that when a team is playing for the playoffs and they're playing a subpar team, which 3-11 makes the Titans that usually that team finds a way. But when you are taking backup quarterback and putting that into the equation, I still think the Texans will win, but all of a sudden a turnover here, a bad play here, a series here, momentum. It's not as absurd to think that this Titans team that has, again, you're counting on a team that's won three games to win two. It's a big ask.
Yes.
But given the circumstances, not that extreme, I think the tougher task is the Jaguars winning their last two. Because you're talking about a team that is clearly deficient in pass rush when they're just doing it with four. And whether or not Drew Brees plays, which is a question mark, you still have to go on the road when you've won one road game so far and do that twice and get enough pass rush to close out games. Mm. That's as challenging as having Tennessee win for you. So we'll see.
We'll take a look at the Jags' defense against the Saints' offense coming up. But last night, the league announcing the Pro Bowl players, there were no Jaguars named, but Allen Robinson was named the first alternate as the wide receiver spot, 69 catches. 1,100 yards this year, 13 touchdowns. Now, he would be the first Jags wide receiver to go to the Pro Bowl since Jimmy Smith back in 2001. That's been a while, and if any of these guys that beat him out, which eight guys did, of course, if any of those guys either opt out with injury or a Super Bowl run, then he would get the nod. And I think last year, John, I think five of the eight receivers that were named didn't go.
Right.
So there's a good chance.
Can we say tisk, tisk, tisk on this show?
I think you just did.
Because tisk, tisk, tisk on the selection process. And I get what it is. And when you look at the wide receivers who made it, all of them are probably as good or better at this stage of their careers overall in terms of defenses having to game plan for them, the reputation, whatever. All eight of those guys are deserving who made it. But if it's within the context of 1 year, Allen Robinson, 16.5 yards per reception,
yes.
13 touchdowns, the yards, I guess he deserves it too, is the thing that Jaguars fans can't quite get past, and that he should be feeling. But I do believe, as I wrote today on Jaguars.com, or last night, I think it's going to come for Allen Robinson. I think he is going to be one of these long-term 12-year receivers, and I think he'll get his due on the back end. He'll have the Pro Bowls that he should be, and I think he'll go this year. But his reputation is almost there where he'll be a guy who, if he has the numbers, will make it. But there's no perfect selection process, but in this case, the process failed A-Rob because somehow, some way, there's no doubt he should be there.
A third fans, a third coaches, a third player
but
in the vote.
I will say this. Good for him for being first alternate.
Absolutely.
Because the wide receiver position, out of all the positions, maybe quarterback plays into this too, is a tough position to sort of break that glass ceiling. All those guys are on fantasy lists a lot, which plays into the fan voting. They're on SportsCenter a lot. And you have to get by Fitzgerald and Calvin Johnson and Odell Beckham, the guys who have been SportsCenter guys. Mm-hmm. He's right there on the cusp, and that's a huge jump from where he was in August. So I think this getting close, if he goes with his numbers, he's turning into that guy, which is a hard thing to get to. I think once he's there, he's going to be there for a long time because there's nothing fake about what he's doing. There's nothing manufactured.
Yeah.
He's making the plays. I think he'll continue to. So it's disappointing. At the same time, good for him for now being in that group.
Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank. J.P. Shattuck, John Osier. Blake Bortles is coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll go to that press conference as we always do. And then Rashad Green, Jaguars wide receiver and punt returner, will join us. You know, the talk of A-Rob brings us.
I predict, by the way, will be sitting here at some point in the next 2 years talking to you, J.P. Shattuck, about the Pro Bowl.
Oh, you think so?
I think Rashad Green is a guy, punt returning wise, and that may be a little strong, but he is a guy who is clearly, what an impact in five games back, I think, where now when you watch this kid play, you're surprised when he doesn't get 8 or 9 yards.
Yeah.
You know, that hasn't happened for this franchise maybe ever. Reggie Barlow back in the day was a really good punt returner. I guess Mojo did it for a while when I wasn't here. But Rashad Green is now a guy that you're not surprised when he gets a 30-yard return. That's all of a sudden long-term punt returner impact stuff.
Let's move to the offense now. A lot of good things happening, especially in the second half last week. The first two drives, couple of touchdowns, moved the ball down the field a little bit. So you're seeing a lot of weapons touch the ball, too. Mm-hmm. Blake Bortles spreading it out. There have been some not-so-good things as well, the interception before halftime. So a little mixed bag on offense right now.
Well, and the big place where it's mixed and even deficient, if you will, are the third-down conversions in the first half. And that all kind of ties together. They're 0 of 11 the last 2 weeks on mm-hmm. third downs in the first half. And if you say, hey, why aren't they starting fast? Well, if you are in third down situations and don't convert them, you're off the field. Hard to start fast. And they haven't been able to make the big plays to make up for that deficiency. I don't know why that's happening. My guess is it has to do with youth on offense, still sort of starting games and needing a few drives, coming off the field. Hey, what's going on? Okay, this is what's going on. Let's go fix this. But the fast starts or the lack of fast starts mm-hmm. are really hurting right now. It could have hurt against the Colts and maybe should have if not for the Andre Branch play. It's got to change this week because the Saints start fast. They score more points in the first quarter than they do in any other quarters. The Jaguars are opposite that. If the Jaguars have the lead after the first quarter, they're in really good shape. If they don't, it's tough in the Superdome.
And they could start fast against the Saints defense that is not been very good at all this year. Among the worst in the league. 31st in total defense, last against the run, 30th against the pass, the most first downs allowed per game in the league, and of course they fired the defensive coordinator, Rob Ryan, earlier in the season. If you can't start fast against this team, who can you start fast against is the question.
Well, I guess the Texans got to be the only game left.
That's right.
They also have given up 39 passing touchdowns this year. That's one shy of the league record. Mr. Stat got it.
There you are.
You should be able to move the ball on offense against this team. At the same time, there's a little bit of a danger area because you have struggled so much on third down. So part of the Jaguars, if they have a problem on offense, and I hate to phrase it that way because they're so much better than they were last year, so many big plays. And such a reliance on the big play. They're a chunk play team this year. Blake Bortles has, I guess it's 64, somewhere in that range. Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, 16.5 and 17.1. Again, I'm not a huge numbers guy, but those are staggering numbers for yards per catch. So much of their offense has come in these big chunk plays, and they depend on it a little bit. Well, the opposite of that is they're a little more high risk. So when they don't work, all of a sudden you're off the field. And off the field, when that happens two or three drives in a row, if you think about it, not hitting a long play two or three drives in a row is not unusual in the NFL. The Jaguars are dependent on it, so when it happens to them, they're off the field quickly. So, you know, can you turn your offense into a more efficient short thing in 2 weeks? I don't know. But you've got to hit those plays when you go for them. I think that's causing a little bit of the problem too. But hey, don't take away the chunk plays. Those are fun.
They are fun, and we like them. Yes,
they're cool, and people like them.
They're cool, and people like them. That's the way that works. Now, there's a little bit of a blueprint on what happened on Monday night. Matt Stafford and the Lions, I think they scored four straight drives on this Saints defense. You have to score when they don't score and then keep on scoring. That's part of it.
Right, and again, I don't know that the blueprint for Detroit works because they are a little better at short passing, throwing to the backs, turning those guys into effective weapons. I think the big thing is they have to keep pace early. And if that means hitting big plays, that means taking advantage of the secondary, then that's what it means. I think in order to win this game Sunday, I think they are going to need to make some chunk plays work. I keep saying this. I think you get Marquise Lee involved. I think if you're going to have a wrinkle, maybe that's it. Maybe your three and four wide receivers a little more with the running game not working, and maybe that starts you and you get a few more big plays early that turn into 65-yard touchdowns or 66.
Or either way.
Give or take.
We'll take them. Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank. Blake Bortles coming up at the top of the hour. We'll carry that press conference live as we always do, and then Rashad Green will join us here on set. Let's flip it over now. Jaguars defense. Where do you want to start with this defensive unit? I guess you could start on third down, just like you did on offense, because they have not been good on third down a lot of the year. It goes back to the pass rush. And, of course, right now, last week, 7 of 14, the Falcons were on third down. A lot of those in the second half. Three of those on that one long field goal drive, and that's been an issue all season.
Just put the mic down, and you could just replay last week's tape.
Right.
Or the week before, because we're talking about pass rush again.
Yep.
And we're going to keep talking about pass rush until they get some elements in there that improve. I think it's going to be Sendarek Marks next year, Dante Fowler Jr. next year, maybe a Leo or two outside of that. I don't think the weapons are here this year to significantly change the pass rush. So, especially against the Saints, if Breeze plays, that puts you in a very hazardous situation because you're either going to be not getting pressure on him with four and then hoping that you can make Drew Brees make mistakes if he's the guy playing, or you're blitzing him. And blitzing Brees is dangerous because he is an aggressive riverboat gambler. You know, I don't think that's the right word, but it's in New Orleans, so what the heck. But he will step up, and his instinct is to go after you deep and to go after one-on-one situations that he sees, and he's very good at seeing them. So for people who say midweek this game's going to be a shootout, I'm usually not one that necessarily thinks that pregame theme always plays out. If you're going to beat this team, you're probably going to have to score points to do it.
You see on the screen now what Breeze has done in his career, a fourth player ever in league history to go over 60,000 passing yards. He did that on Monday night. Still over 4,000 again this year. That seems to be the norm for Breeze. A couple of 5,000-yard seasons in his career. The guy can do it. And he does it with a number of weapons on the offensive side as well. Guys that aren't huge names. Of course, Marcus Colston made a name for himself early in his career. Mm-hmm. But guys like Cooks and Snead and the tight end Watson took the place of Jimmy Graham and is playing well this year. But like you said, they're guys that Drew Brees can find in a tight window.
Yeah, they're not quite as potent as maybe they were when this offense was in its prime in 2009 when they won the Super Bowl 10 or 11. But the X factor and the difference in this offense, when you watch a Brady or a Manning or a Rodgers, I'm talking about the elite guys in their prime, which Drew Brees, when he is in his prime, is those guys. They'll often sort of take what's there, and they don't mind killing you slowly, so to speak. The thing that stands out for Brees is, with this offense, they're always looking to go for the kill shot. They're always looking to hurt you deep, and there is a feeling when they get going in the Superdome of, oh my goodness, we don't have enough back there to stop you no matter who you are. And I think that's, again, I'm not trying to say the Jaguars can't win this game, mm-hmm. because the Saints showed the other night that they are not the offense that has every weapon at every place that they used to be. So you can get some breaks early. You can break serve early, so to speak. And if you do go score and you get up on them, then you can turn this into a game in your favor. But the danger is if you don't, that they are a deluge team, as I like to call them, where if you get behind them, yeah. all of a sudden it can feel like you're out of control with it. And that's the danger when you're playing Drew Brees.
Now the question this week is, will Drew Brees play? Yeah. He was injured in the second quarter of the game Monday night against the Lions. Plantar fascia tear is the word on it.
And that's
They're
that
not
injury
ready to...
that I hate to hear, because I don't even like to think about the foot and planting with that, where you feel like it's separating on you. So it's tough, but he played the other night. And I don't think from what you're hearing, this is going to be a case where on Thursday or Friday, we know it's going to be Matt Flynn. It sounds like he's going to go right up to game time. And you would be surprised if he doesn't at least start the game and try to give it a go, because it's not – he's very much one of those guys. He moves in the pocket and he does it well.
Yes, he does.
And he's smart. But he's also not one of these guys that if he has to stay in one place – frankly, especially against this pass rush, it's not like we have a big frame of reference for saying this team is always going to get Drew Brees off his spot. Now, that would turn it into, do you blitz and try to get him off that spot if that happens? Well, that's game planning for another day.
And then there's the risk of the blitz not working and him throwing it past you as well. Now, if he doesn't go, here's Matt Flynn's mm-hmm. career so far. Eighth year out of LSU. He was a draft pick of the Packers, a seventh-round pick, and got some starts when Rodgers was down, and then got a big contract with the Seattle Seahawks. Yes, he did, and Russell Wilson beat him out. He was actually on the street this year for a couple of months, cut in final cuts by the Jets, and then signed when McCown went down with a back injury as the backup in New Orleans.
It doesn't matter who the opposing quarterback is if you can't pressure. We've seen that all year. Matt Hasselbeck beat this team. Brian Hoyer beat this team. Any backup can beat you in the NFL if you can't pressure. So Matt Flynn, again, if you look at Matt Flynn's stats, he has had games where he's put up numbers.
Yes.
There's no reason to think that he can't do that unless you figure out a way to affect him. So, again, playr.com live from Houston, play from after any of these games, you must pressure the quarterback. And, you know, there have been times they have. Hasn't been consistent, but that's going to be the key this week.
It could be. That's the talk in New Orleans. Should they play Flynn or the rookie Garrett Grayson, who is a third-round pick this year out of Colorado State? That'll be a question if Brees is ruled out.
If I'm the Jaguars, I would far rather want to see the rookie, just because you know Matt Flynn has the experience to see it. You know he can complete passes. Often rookies can come in and give you rookie drives, I call them, where – your defense didn't play that well, but a ball hit the ground that you're surprised with. Most rookies will give you a few of those. So, hey, if I'm a Jaguars fan, I want to see the kid.
Let's go down the hallway and see Blake Bortles on a Wednesday. Jaguars.com.
Blake will definitely tweet it. Now the picture of Vito and Chad. I do like that.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Mark.
Or
go ahead, Ryan.
All right. Go, Ryan. All right.
Dave Robb, first alternate for Pro Bowl, which usually needs to get in. How deserving is he?
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, I think way more deserving than to be the first alternate for sure. I think he belongs in that list of guys. You know, but credit to him. It's a special honor and privilege. Happy for him and excited for him, and definitely well deserved.
Blake, but how much has offense improved this year? Does it surprise you you've only scored twice in the first quarter of games?
Yeah. You know, it does. You know, we talk about starting fast and wanting to be a team that gets points on the board early. And you know, it's been something we've struggled with. So it's definitely an area. Area where we gotta, you know, pick things up a little bit and be able to put points on the board, you know, not only in the first quarter, but in the first half.
Can you identify why that might be happening, why you guys might be having trouble getting started?
You know, really just a lack of execution. I mean, the play calls don't change, the players don't change, the defense doesn't change. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's like in golf, I guess you hit a good shot, sometimes you hit a bad shot, sometimes. I guess I think it's kind of similar. You know, sometimes you win on a play, sometimes you don't win on a play. They're professionals on the other side too. But you got to try and win more than you lose in order to be successful.
To that point, you've had a lot of success in the two-minute offense. Is there any thought to, you know, maybe mix that in a little bit earlier in games to kind of – jumpstart the offense?
Right. You know, we do some no-huddle stuff every now and then on third downs, but not necessarily, you know, mixing it in the offense. You know, it's something we're comfortable with. It's something we've been pretty productive and efficient at, you know, being the two-minute drill. So it's something we know that, you know, when we get in those situations where we need points in a hurry, we have the ability to score.
Been watching the interception with Greg and Nate. Glean anything from that?
Yeah, you know, just, you know, another, I guess, learning opportunity. I mean, there's I don't think such thing as a moral victory, but, you know, I think there is things you can take away from games and mistakes and get better from, and that's one of those things. You know, guy made a good play, you know, was late to begin with and should have came off of him anyway and thrown it to Hearns.
You had that thing set up again. Do you look, see Allen?
Yeah. You know, it's pretty funny because we ran that play actually Saturday, I think, in our 7-on-7 and threw it to Mercedes for a touchdown. You know, so it's one of those things. Anytime Allen's 1-on-1, that's a big alert in our offense and something we want to take advantage of. So, I mean, it was kind of pick one side or the other, and you're never wrong. You know, I think one thing that's cool about this offense, you pick a side, and you're never wrong with the side you pick as long as you go through your reads and progressions. So that was one of those where that didn't happen.
New Orleans has given up 39 touchdowns, one shy of the all-time record. Have they changed at all in the last four games from what you've seen with the new coordinator?
You know, a little bit. I think they're still gonna, for the most part, do or be who they are and what they've done for most of the season. Dennis Allen, you know, put a little bit of what he does in there, but you know, it's not going to be a complete makeover. You know, so I think for the most part, you know, who they are throughout the season is, you know, as a base, what they're going to be.
Kind of dead or at least sore. How is it this year? I mean, how did that stuff that you worked on
with
that pregame?
Yeah, it feels really good. You know, feel really healthy, 100%. Nothing, you know, no aches or pains or nothing. Very fortunate. But, you know, I think we've done a really good job as far as, you know, Milo and the strength staff have done a good job of monitoring throws. And, you know, they got a bunch of scientific stuff and velocity and all that stuff. So they do a good job of keeping track of everything and numbers and stuff like that.
You were pretty steady. The thing you do pregame, you know, with the warm up routine, is that before every practice too? You do all that stuff?
Yeah. Just kind of the routine that I picked up out in California to help, you know, my arm, you know, get ready and warmed up to throw for whatever.
Yeah,
just different things to kind of activate and get the shoulder and the blood flowing, and kind of warming up to throw rather than throwing to warm up.
You were pretty steady when the red zone wasn't going well, and now it is. Same approach to third down?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. You fix one, and then the other one kind of goes backwards. But, you know, I think we'll have to, you know, switch views. And I think when we put a lot of emphasis on the red zone and becoming a better red zone scoring team, I think obviously it showed up and we were able to do that and change it. So I think we'll have to do that with third down.
I don't know whether it's fair or not, but when you see one side of the ball that's struggling a bit, does the other side think, we got to convert on third down with Drew Brees, we've got to be a defense to help our offense or to help our defense?
Right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's another guy that's been playing at a high level for a really long time, and is a, you know, a really good quarterback. And playing against him, you know, you're going to have to stay on the field on third down, similar to last week with Matt Ryan. You know, kind of the same situation. So we know we got to help those guys out and stay on the field and put drives together and points up.
You've got more time on task. and knowledge has improved your game. What does it say about a guy like Drew Brees, who isn't the biggest, the strongest, fastest? Yeah. What do you know about gaining the info and getting better that way?
Yeah, you know, I think I saw Seth the other day. He's only a quarterback for 10 years, just over 4,000 yards, which is unbelievably impressive. You know, I think he's done it after having a big injury at the beginning of his career and kind of reviving it and becoming an elite quarterback. And I think it kind of shows how much preparation means, you know, to have a guy that is 6 foot and a smaller dude. One thing that everybody says about him is how prepared he is. And I've had a chance to spend some time with him and, you know, kind of, you know, see his work habits and how he goes about doing things. And it's very impressive.
You allow yourself to.
Those are the Wednesday comments of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles. And we're joined by one of his receivers now, Rashad Green. Good to see you, man. What's up?
Nothing much, man. Just continuing to grind and, you know, and enjoy every step of the way.
It's that time of year. 2 weeks left in the regular season. I know you missed a lot of time this year. How are you feeling physically at the end of December here? What's up?
Physically, you know, I can say I'm fine. I'm good. I'm not, you know, too sore at all. Mentally, I'm still there. So we just pushing through and, you know, steady trying to get better. You know, that's the main key for a guy like me, just staying on the right track, getting better, you know, focusing on my technique and things like that.
Let's start on the offensive side. You know, it hasn't been ideal first year for you with the thumb injury. Of course, you missed a lot of time this year. But the times you've been on the field on offense, you've scored. You had a couple receiving touchdowns this year and have been a part of this offense for an offense that's finding playmakers all over the field. That's important, right, to step in and contribute right away on offense.
Most definitely. You know, as a competitor like myself, I always want to come in and be able to, you know, help my teammates in any possible way I can, and I feel like I'm doing a great job of just helping this team, you know, for our special teams and, you know, offense as well.
Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank. Rashad Green is with us, the Jaguars wide receiver. This is a group of receivers, and I know you guys hate this. You're all young. You're all first or second year guys, but you're all growing together, and that's great. And with the quarterback, a second year guy too, that's a good nucleus, a core moving forward for this group.
Oh, it's great. Just like you say, all of us are young, either first year or second year. We're growing together, you know, as well with Blake. Mm-hmm. So it's fun for us. It's a learning experience, and we all just trying to get better, you know, just be our best individually and together.
What has Jerry Sullivan brought to you so far? How's it been working with him?
It's been pretty good, you know, just bringing just how long he's been coaching this game, just the knowledge and wisdom to take from him is great, and the technique and all of the little details that he coaches up every day, you know, just staying on top of things. It's great for all of us being so young and, you know, trying to go so far in this league.
Did you almost call him old at the start there?
No, you wouldn't do that, of course.
Rashad Green is with us. Allen Robinson is the first alternate for the Pro Bowl. I don't know if you were aware of that or not, if it was brought up in the team meeting today. That's pretty cool, right? That's not only for him, but as the group as a whole, to see a guy one step away from Hawaii.
It's great. I'm so proud of that guy. Just since I've been here, seeing him put in the hard work. You know, all of us put it in together, but just seeing him be able to, you know, achieve something like that and just one step away from going to Hawaii, it's an awesome feeling for him, I'm sure.
Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank. Rashad Green with us. We'll get to some social media questions. I know you can't wait for those. Those are coming up in just a moment. Let's get to punt returns, though. That's where you've made your biggest mark so far, Rashad. You know, you came back from the injury, and the first game out, you had a long run against the Tennessee Titans, 63 yards, nearly to the house. And, of course, a couple of weeks ago, 73 yards to the house. That's, you know, that's something the Jaguars haven't had around here in a long time. That's a big part of your game right now, punt returns.
Most definitely. I've always been able to do it, you know, since high school. That's been a knack for me, you know, asset, you know, towards my game. And I love doing it. You know, not a lot of guys, you know, enjoy punt return, just speaking with different guys. You know, it's kind of a difficult thing to do, just catching the ball and being able to, you know, make plays out of that. But, you know, I enjoy anything that has to do with football. So if I'm able to be out there with my teammates and, you know, just make plays with those guys, you know, I'm all for it.
Now, what goes through a punt returner's mind? Take us through the whole scenario. Ball's in the air. What do you watch for? What's the next step there?
Pretty much, you know, based off of going a week-to-week basis of how the punter kicks and things like that. You do your studying, first of all. And during the game, you watch the ball off his foot, you know, see where it's going, read it very well. And most importantly, you got to catch it first, you know. And that's what, you know, some guys have a hard time, you know, just catching the ball first, you know, taking the profit of just gaining the possession. Mm-hmm. And after that, for me, it's just all athletic ability and just reading blocks and, you know, trusting the guys and the returns that, you know, the coach has designated for us and just going out there, going hard.
It's one of those things where you can't worry about the guys in front of you about to blast you, right? You'll worry about them later, right?
Yeah, you have to be calm about it, you know. And I have a pretty sense, you know, of, you know, just being calm and catching the ball first.
Now, the one you took to the house, obviously you know by now, gave a family $100,000 towards a new home. The Shad family got $100,000. You got to meet them, right?
Yeah, I got to meet them. It was awesome. You know, I'm happy for them. I'm blessed to be able to have the ability to do something like that that can, you know, fall back on another family and bless them as well.
Did you even know that was part of the deal here?
Yeah, I seen it. It was a week that I was out. It may be the Texans game. I think I heard the announcer say something about it. So I was aware of it, but, you know, I wasn't thinking about it at the time. But, you know, after the fact, I found out, I saw the son, you know, at me on Instagram. And, you know, I replied back and, you know, just, you know, congratulated them.
Speaking of Instagram, let's go to social media. Social media questions now. What is your handle on Twitter and Instagram?
My handle on Twitter is RG80 underscore. Mm-hmm. And on Instagram is RashadGreen13.
Why is it different?
The Twitter is not something that I get on very often, so it's still been the same since I've been in college. And Instagram, I'm on a little bit more, so I changed it. But, you know, that's pretty much the reason why.
Okay, well, we'll start on Twitter and get that one out of the way since you're not on there as much. Rob Cow 305, what player on the team are you the closest to?
I would say probably Allen Hurns out of the guys that I'm closest with. But I'm close with all the receivers. But just him, it may be a little more, but because I knew him before I got him.
Okay.
Got here. So, you know, that's pretty much the reason why. And, you know, we live in the same neighborhood. So, you know, we hang out from time to time.
Same receiver room, same neighborhood. Your neighbors and teammates and everything. That makes sense. Let's go to Instagram now. Toby Conway, who is your favorite player in the NFL and who is your childhood hero?
My favorite player in the NFL right now.
You can say yourself if you want.
Of course, I'm always going to go with the home team. But, you know, besides myself, it's kind of tricky. But, you know, I just throw it out there. My favorite players are my teammates. You know, I love just being able to watch them grind every day. It's an inspiration, you know, and it pushes me. So that's why they are my favorite players, because I see the hard work they put in and, you know, and I'm out there with them myself.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
That's a really good teammate answer right there. Ryan Mack, what do you do to prepare for the games? What's your pregame ritual?
Pregame ritual pretty much is, you know, I listen to some music here and there, you know, I get all loose and things like that, but nothing in particular, you know. Mentally, I think I'm a guy that has the ability to pretty much lock in and stay locked in, you know, for the entire game. So it's no ritual for me to say that I have to do to get my mind right, because, you know, I have that ability.
What kind of music?
I listen to a little rap, mostly, but, you know, I switch it up here and there, you know, just different genres and things like that.
A few more questions. We'll get you out of here. Believe, Excel, Achieve asking, what was your favorite memory as a Seminole?
My favorite memory as a Seminole most definitely would be the national championship game. That was one of the most exciting games I ever been a part of, and a big accomplishment for, you know, me and my teammates there in the university.
Where's your rings?
My rings are with my mom. You know, she makes sure they're safe and kept up, you know, so I give her all the rings.
Yeah, in a good place, that's for sure. You mentioned, this is from Hey, Eric E., you mentioned surf and turf is your favorite meal in an earlier interview on Jaguars.com, if you remember. What's your favorite restaurant in Jacksonville? You been out and about much?
Here in Jacksonville, I would probably say Three Forks. It's right by my house. It's convenient. Usually me and my family, I go over, you know, once a week or something like that and just go have a good, nice steak.
That is a good place for a good steak. Hef Noel asking, what was going through your mind when you got the touchdown run? He means the punt return for a touchdown. The seas parted there, and all of a sudden you're down the sideline and headed to the end zone.
What was going through my mind was just trying to get to the end zone. And once I saw the crease, I pretty much knew I was gone, and I was ready to, you know, just celebrate with my team and, you know, just enjoy the moment.
You can't think about the celebration while you're still running, Rashad.
I was looking up as I was running on the scoreboard, so I was looking at myself run, actually.
See if anybody's chasing you.
Yeah.
Let's finish with this. You know, 2 weeks to go, this is a team that still mathematically has a sliver of hope for the postseason. I don't know if you guys look at that or not. But that aside, 2 weeks to go for this offense, for this special teams units, for this defense, for everybody. What do you guys want to achieve the last 2 weeks?
Continue going up that incline, you know, not declining offensively, you know, any phase of our game, you know, just continue to get better and just play hard and most importantly, have fun. You know, this is our job. But at the end of the day, we've been doing this since we was kids, so we must go out there and have fun and enjoy it.
Rashad, good to have you today. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Rashad Green joining us, Jaguars wide receiver and punt returner. You can win $4,500 in cash to help pay your holiday bills. Go to jaguars.com/holiday Hail Mary. Register today for your chance to win $4,500 and make your bills lighter this holiday season. Registration ends Wednesday, January 13th. So submit today. You must be 18 years or older to enter. Our thanks to John Osier, who joined us earlier, Blake Bortles for the press conference, Rashad Green here on set with us. And for everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.